Let us now open the holy word of the Lord for the scripture reading for the sermon. And we read from Exodus 2, chapter 2, verse 1 till 10. So the scripture reading for the sermon this morning is Exodus 2, verse 1 till 10. And we read the holy infallible word of the Lord as follows. Exodus 2, verse starting at verse 1. And there went a man of the house of Levi, and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived, and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put a child therein, and she laid it in the flax by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at a river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flax, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept, and she had compassion on him, and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." So far the reading of God's holy word. Beloved congregation, with the help of the Lord, I will preach the word of God this morning from the scripture part that we have been reading from Exodus 2. I read the last part of verse 10, especially as a text verse for the sermon. Exodus 2, verse 10, the last part. "And she called his name Moses, and she said, 'Because I drew him out of the water.'" The theme for the sermon this morning is God preparing the salvation of his people. 3 points of attention. The first point, a dark night. The second point, trusting parents. And the third point, the purpose of God. So the theme is God preparing the salvation of his people. 3 points, a dark night, trusting parents, and the purpose of God. Congregation, it happened in the time that we lived in South Africa that one time, children, we went to the mountains, like we like to do some hiking, and we walked there. We only had one child, it was pretty small, she could walk, but she was small, and we walked for, let's say, 5 hours, almost the whole day, we walked a certain track. We didn't know the track, but then it was later in the afternoon, and then we came near the end of the track, like we expected. And then the track went to in a cave in the mountain. It was dark there, dark cave, and we thought, oh, what is going to happen now? It looked like there was no way out. It was dark, and it ended there. So we were scared about that, because there was no way back. We couldn't go back all the way, because then it would be dark, and how could you walk in the mountains in the darkness? It was scaring, and we continued in the dark cave. And when we came further into it, then all of a sudden we saw some light there. There was a spot of light coming from above. So you're wondering what's happening, and you understand there came some hope, there might be a way out. And indeed, when we came at the end of the cave, there we could see an opening, but it was high on the rock. And there was a chain ladder that we had to climb to a steep rock. And how would we do that with a small child? That was difficult, but, well, we made it. We came out of that dark situation that seemed to be hopeless, and we thanked the Lord that we found and received a way out. I was thinking about that experience that we had when I was studying this chapter. When you think about the people of Israel, they had gone a long way already with the guidance of the Lord. They were brought to Egypt. The Lord allowed Jacob to go to Egypt with his family. But then it became very dark in Egypt, because the Pharaoh was suppressing the people. He made slaves of them. Not only that, it became so dark, it was really a dark night in history of the people of Israel, the people of God, because the Pharaoh commanded that the children that would be born, the boy children, the boys would have to be killed. That is terrible, if you think about it, that there would be parents that would have to see their children be killed in the Nile, thrown in the Nile. And we know that the Nile was for the Egyptians like an idol. They worshipped the Nile because they saw that there were some benefits coming from that river when it would rise and go over the fields and go down again. Then it would leave some mud, which would make the fields fertile. And so they worshipped the Nile. And it's remarkable that later the Lord is punishing the people of the Egyptians in the plagues by changing the water of the Nile in blood. So you could say the Lord was punishing that people in their own idol. There we already have a lesson. That happens also in many situations, that the Lord will punish in those things, or chastise in those things that we make an idol of. And he is doing that in his righteousness and wisdom. But what a terrible situation it is for the people of Israel where they are in. You cannot imagine how that must be. You receive a dear child from the Lord, who is the creator of life, and then it has to be killed, like a sacrifice to the idol of the Nile, thrown into the water to die. It is so cruel. Yeah, so when you think about it, that man can do such things, it is showing us how deep we have fallen. And let us not say, well, we are different. If we behave different, then I understand you say we don't do that. Then we don't see that's because we are good. We don't have to say that's because we are good. We have to say it's because God is so good. Isn't that true? That God is keeping us back from doing things that we could do, that our heart is able to do. Isn't that true? That we see it happening all over the world, that people can do the most cruel things to each other. So deep we have fallen in sin. And it is the goodness of the Lord when he is restraining us in different ways from doing what is within our hearts. The seed of every sin is to be found in the heart of every human being. According to what the Lord Jesus is saying, out of the heart is coming adultery, murder, stealing, and all these things. It's humbling. Maybe you don't like to hear this. I understand. But it's the word of God. And why do we have to hear it? So that we see that by nature we are like in the dark night. And oh, what a miracle when the Lord is showing us light and giving us hope in his heart, in our heart, that he has prepared a way to come out of it like we could come out of that cave. And that there is a way to be saved out of that darkness in which we are by nature, by Christ, who says, I am the way. You know him. You know the deep joy and peace in your heart. And yeah, if we are in a deep, dark night in life, you can have a lot of questions. There can be questions why the people of Israel had to experience this in Egypt. Why did the Lord allow it to his people to happen this? The children were killed. And we see that in Pharaoh, we see the power of the darkness of Satan, who is always busy to destroy the people of God and the work of the Lord, and try to prevent that a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, would be born. Why did the Lord allow his people to come in such darkness and suffer so deeply? It might even be that you have that question about things that happen in your life. Why do I have to experience this loss? Why is there this disappointment in my life? And we do not always have the answers immediately. We could think about certain answers to the question why the people of Israel came in this situation. The Lord allowed Jacob to go to Egypt. And when they were there, I read in one of the commentaries, he said, well, wasn't it a situation where the Lord protected his people so that they wouldn't mix with the Canaanites? He took them for a certain time out of Canaan, out of the promised land, and brought them to Egypt, where they were an abomination to that people, so that they wouldn't mix with the heathens and be kept to be the people of God. And the other thing is that the Lord prepared his people by this suffering so that they would cry to the Lord for his salvation, and he saved them out of Egypt and brought them to the promised land to show his might and his power, and to reveal his covenant more clear and deeply to his people. So we can think about several reasons, although we might still have a hard time to accept. And so there can be reasons in your life. If you experience disappointment, do we believe that the Lord is ruling wise and good, and that he is using many times the difficult things in our lives to draw us near to him, to humble our hearts, to break our pride, and to see our need for soul and body, that we need to be saved by Christ, but also that we cannot do in our own strength the things of this earthly life. What a benefit it is that we receive if the Lord is teaching us that in deep ways. And it is not that the Lord has a pleasure in making life hard for people, but when the Scripture says that we have to enter the kingdom of God through many tribulations, it is because of the hardness of our own hearts. The reason is at our sight. But we see that the Lord, while the people was suffering, he was busy to prepare salvation for his people. When we read that his child is born, and there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. So the Lord gave this child Moses, who would be used by the Lord to lead the people out of Egypt, to make them free. And when we see Moses and think about his life, we see in Moses a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are many similarities that we see between Moses and between Christ. And oh, how good it is when the Lord is showing us that He has been busy to prepare a way of salvation even long before I was born, so that I could and would be saved by Christ alone, by His righteousness, that He would impute to me that righteousness of Christ, so that I, who am unrighteous in myself, would be acceptable before God. Oh, what a joy and comfort is coming into your heart when you see it. Did you see that? Did you see how God, in His tender love, was busy even from eternity to prepare a way of salvation for those that couldn't save themselves, that are weak and helpless? When we think about Moses, yeah, we see here a boy that is born as a child of slaves. But at the same time, he grew up as a prince, as a king in the palace. And then we think about the Lord Jesus, the King of Kings, who came down from heaven but stayed to be God Almighty. And at the same time, he became man. And he took the image of a servant. He became a slave, like a slave, to serve. He came on earth. He humbled himself so deeply. And when you think about Moses, that he could have been the king of Egypt, and mighty and rich, in a powerful position, but that he has chosen to belong to the people of God, to the people of the slaves. And then we see that the Lord Jesus did it in a much deeper way, so that he could save those that are slaves by nature, slaves of sin. And what a powerful illustration we have in the deliverance of the people of Israel out of Egypt. What a powerful illustration of how God is delivering sinners out of the slavery of sin, out of the power of Satan, who is like Pharaoh. He is able to do it. It might be that there is someone here who is feeling that power of sin that is binding you and that makes you a slave. The sin of selfishness, self-centeredness, or you can be addicted to several things and you feel your powerlessness. And now remember how God prepared a way of salvation for His people, and how He with a powerful hand took His people out of Egypt. Would He not be able to make you free to break those binding things in your life, so that you would experience, if the Son has made you free, you will be really free? That are not only words, that is reality, that is a truth. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Moses is born in a dark night. Christ came in this dark world. And Moses, Satan tried to kill Moses, but the same happened to the Lord Jesus Christ. He had to flee to Bethlehem. So we see that Moses is a type of Christ. The Lord used Moses to lead His people out of slavery, and by Christ we have to be made free out of the slavery of unbelief and sin. And the parents saw that it was a goodly child. She saw him that he was a goodly child. You can translate the word goodly also as a beautiful child. So it was a beautiful child to see. But wouldn't it be that those parents saw some something more than outward beauty, had a hope and desire in the heart, and that the Lord showed them something that he would use this boy. I have a question for parents. Do you ever see something of the beauty of a life that is used by the Lord in his service? I mean, do you ever have the desire that the Lord would use your children to his glory and to salvation of sinners and to the extension of his kingdom, even if it might be that would mean that your child would have to go maybe to another part of the world? Would you be willing to sacrifice in such a way? Because you see that is the most important and the most rich and beautiful thing. And now they do hide, see, hit him 3 months. And we read in Hebrews that it was done by faith. It was really dangerous. But they trusted in the Lord. So there was a dark night, but here is a child born with trusting parents. And what a privilege it is when you are young. Maybe you never think about it. What it means that you are born children in a family where the Lord is served, where a Bible is in the house that is read with you, where the prayers are, and where you are taught about the Word of God and about the service of the Lord, that you receive teaching at a Sunday school, that you are teaching at homeschooling or at a Christian school, that you receive teaching in a catechism class. But above all, if you have praying parents. I always knew, even when I did things that were wrong, I have parents that pray for me. And I am very sure that the Lord has heard their prayers. And God is the same. And now we see here trusting parents. And isn't it true that we have to say we live in a dark night? Could be that we get used to it. That's how it goes. If you walk in darkness, you get used to the darkness. But isn't it true that our time of history that we are living in, our society is a dark society, a dark time of history? I do not want to make you desperate. Certainly not. But I would like to show you reality so that we will pray about it. If you think about what happened in Egypt, you say, that is cruel. They killed those young, tender children. But what are we doing in the Netherlands, in the United States, in Canada? Children that should be most safe in the wombs of mothers are killed in a very cruel way. How terrible. The Lord would punish that sin. What would happen to us? If the Lord would do to us according to our sins, maybe you say, well, we don't do that. Well, we are part of this society, isn't that true? And when we read the prayer of Daniel, then he doesn't say, well, the people have sinned, O Lord. No, we have sinned. He was part of that people. And we do not even read the sin of Daniel. But he humbled himself under the Lord. So, did we ever feel that burden that we sin against God, our Creator, by killing children in the wombs of the mothers? And that's one part of the darkness. We grow up in a time that's not easy to guide and teach our children with the modern media that we have. I find it hard how to do that, how to warn them, how to protect them, how to guide them in a world where we have the technical means that you can see everything. And Yeah, when we know our hearts, we know that the world is also inside. So the world outside is connecting very well to what is within. And that makes it so necessary that we know Christ. That we know the love of Christ as the best filter and the best protection in this time that we live in. Oh, what a dark night. But do we see the light that is prepared in Christ, and that there is a way out by His sacrifice, by His blood, by His work? And is there that hope in the hearts of parents? Is there that continuing prayer for their children? By faith, they have hid Moses, this child that was born in a situation of danger. And the Lord made them not ashamed. So is there faith in your heart, parents? Is there hope in the Lord? Not by denying the problems, the sins, and the danger, but by hoping in the Lord. And how did they do it? Well, they used also their mind, the gifts that the Lord has given them. And we have to do that. We have to take responsibility and do what we can for our children so that they might be saved. If you look to the mother of Moses, and when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flax by the river's brink. You see it before you, don't you? She is building that ark. Those mother hands. What a love there is in the heart of a mother, isn't it? I know there are different situations that mothers can be doing wrong things also, and fathers. But oh, usually we see so much love. And now here is a mother preparing a safe place for her child to find a way to have her child saved. And you see, she is busy. So what about us? Are we busy? Are we diligent to prepare to find a safe place for our children? What do I mean, and how can that happen? If you think about this ark, you could think about Christ, who is the only safe place for our souls and the souls of our children. And so are we busy so that our children would be saved in that ark? By teaching them while they are still very young, by taking them on our lap and tell them how good it is to know the Lord and that there is forgiveness when they come, and or you have to rebuke them and say you did something wrong. And at the one side, yeah, you have to discipline them, but at the other side you show grace because you know grace, and you teach them that there is grace and there is forgiveness for all our sins in Christ. And in that way you show in your life and in your words, you teach them that there's one thing that they need, and that is that their soul will be hid in the work and the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sure you want your children to have the best thing in the world, a good life. I know there can be also sadness in your heart if you don't have children. I know. And that can be difficult. There might be children from others that the Lord could use you for and that you have to pray for. Do it. But you, parents, you want your children to have a good life. So you try to do what you can to have them educated, and that they can make money, and that they can have a future on earth. And that's not wrong. But if that is the most important thing for you, I'm quite concerned. If we do not see that one thing is necessary, then we make a big mistake. If our first concern is not that their soul will be saved, we're not behaving like the Word is teaching us. Life can be very complicated for young people. Where shall I go? What shall I do? What do I have to learn? And how can I find someone to live with at my side? And all those questions you can have. But don't forget, young people, Scripture says one thing is needed. That is about your soul. And seek ye first the kingdom of God. All the other things will be given and provided by the Lord. Not saying that you do not have to try your best, but what is most important? So here is a mother, and with her, the love of her heart and her zeal that she has, she is preparing a place to save her child. And she's using the gifts that she has. And it's the guidance of the Lord that she would find this way, so that the daughter of Pharaoh would find her child. And she knew how usually the heart of a woman is if she is seeing a child. And she used it. So she put a child there in the river, in that ark. And the daughter of Pharaoh found it. And it went like she had hoped. And would there not be a praying mother at home for her child? And so the Lord has saved Moses. Well, if you think about that, she brought him to the water. And that is the place where the children were killed. But that is a place where he was saved. And there's a deep lesson in it. The Lord Jesus saying, if we do not lose our life, we will not find it. So, to be saved, we have to die. What does it mean? Well, it means what Paul says in the letter to the Romans. He says, when the law came in, I died. What does that mean? He was a Pharisee. He knew the law for a long time already. But then he says, when the law came in, the law that is saying, thou shalt not covet. When he saw, oh, it's also about my heart, my inward life, then he died. Not physically, but he died in such a way that he lost all hope to save himself. That he would be ever able to change his life in such a way that he would be acceptable before God. That's what we need to see and learn. And that's painful. I cannot save myself. My heart is so depraved. I can change things at the outside. But if to covet is sin, how can I ever be holy before God and acceptable and righteous? So he died. He lost hope. He gave up to do it in his own strength and his own righteousness. So and later on he can say, it's no longer I that live, but it is Christ that is living in me. So that situation that he lost his life, which means he lost all hope to be saved by how he was, what he could do and what he knew in himself, that was an open door to be saved by Christ. You understand that? When you feel your impossibility, then God is showing you that he has opened the way in the Lord Jesus Christ. So she is bringing her child into the water, and there he is saved. Isn't it true from our children also? We cannot save our children, can you? When they grow up, aren't there situations that you say, oh Lord, I don't know how to do this. You feel like with your back to the wall, I don't have the wisdom how to handle this and how to keep them. And I cannot change the hearts. And so that you see that you and your children deserve to be condemned by the Lord because of how we are in ourselves. Isn't that part of salvation, that we condemn ourselves before God? So that we will not be condemned by Him, but be accepted in the Beloved, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the same is true of our children. They have my sinful heart. So the Lord is righteous in what He is saying in His Word, that we all deserve His wrath and judgment. But then, when you come to that place of the water where we have to die in our children, that you would see that ark, Christ, that safe place, that He took the punishment and that He took the wrath of God so that I and my children could be saved and could be free. Do you have that hope in your heart? Trusting parents. That was our second thought. And the third thought is the purpose of God. God has His purpose with His child. How dark the night might be, and how dangerous it was that this child would be born. It was in the plan of God. He had His purpose. And it might be that there's a young person that says, well, I don't see the goal of life. I don't see a purpose. Well, read your Bible and see that God has created you and me. And that He did create us with a purpose and with a high goal. So what is the high goal of life? You could think about the Westminster Confession of Faith. What is the chief end of man? To glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. So our life has a purpose, and that is that we will give glory to God. Oh, that you might see that. That you might see that that is the only thing that can satisfy your heart. And maybe you say, yeah, but how can I ever give glory to God? Well, that's a good question. Because by nature, we are busy to give glory to ourselves. Isn't that true? If I would ask you and say, well, can you talk for half an hour about how good the Lord is, what He has done for you, then you might have a hard time. But if I say, can you talk for half an hour what you have done in life, what you achieved and what you have and what you could do and what you own, that for many people is not too hard. So what I want to say is, by nature we always put ourselves in the center and give glory to ourselves, and that makes our hearts and lives so empty and so cold and so poor, because we do not answer to that high goal that God has in our life. But if you see what God has done in Christ to take you out of the mud of sin and to put you up on a rock, to bring you out of the darkness, to live in the light of His grace and His favor for Christ's sake, yeah, then your heart will be overflowing and you will give glory to God and rejoice in Him. And when you ever have experienced that, you will see that it is true, that we are created for God, and that that is the only thing that can really satisfy my heart and give real joy and peace to my heart. So, yeah, it is my sincere desire that you young people, children, will learn to know the Lord while you are still young. That will make your life different. And then it's not a big deal what kind of work you are going to do. If you see that any work that is done in an honest way is a calling of the Lord and is done for the Lord. Yeah, there was a mother in the house, and she said, there was a time in my life that I found it quite boring.
always to clean the house and to wash the clothes and to prepare the food, always every day the same. He said, till the Lord came to me and showed me that I am called by him in that position, and that, well, yeah, it might be that a husband or children will not even appreciate it, at least not in words so much. Feel sometimes there's no reward, but I saw then that I did it for the Lord, and it changed everything. Every time I did that thing that I found boring before, it gave me joy, and I did it as good as I could because I saw I did it for the Lord. Isn't that true? That our life has to be for God, and that we would give in our hearts glory and thanks to him for that we are able to do even the most simple things in life. Isn't that a change in your mind and heart and life? And so that you will see that there is a purpose in life, to live for the Lord. The Lord had a special purpose with Moses. He was born as a slave child, but adopted by the daughter of Pharaoh. And yeah, the Lord in his goodness, he used the mother to take care of him. But when he grew up, he came to the palace. And how useful it was. How we can see the providence of the Lord. That he took Moses and brought him to the palace, where he was educated in the best way you could ever find in this time. So that he could learn even to write, and later on write the books of Moses, and that he could learn how to rule a people, and he became the leader that would guide and lead the people in the wilderness. Oh, what a wisdom and the providence of the Lord. Could you ever have planned such a thing? And the Lord did it. And it might be that you have times in your life that you think, oh, what a dark night. Where is God? But that he is already busy to prepare and to work for your salvation, or to prepare you for a certain task in his service. If you would think about Joseph, who was betrayed and sold by his brothers to Egypt. And there he was, and he ended up in jail. What a dark and deep way for a young man. But God prepared him. God humbled him. And God made him strong to be the king of Egypt, so that the whole people would be saved. And now there can be a yoke for you on your shoulder while you are still young. And think about Joseph. And he had to bear it for some years, to be used in a very blessed and rich way by the Lord. And isn't it true that Scripture says it is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth? Let him sit silent and let him bow before the Lord and let him say, there might be expectation. Yeah, the Lord knows what we need to be prepared for a high purpose, and for his service, and for his glory. So what would I say? I'm so small. I'm a human being. And just compared to that mighty and eternal God, I could say like a piece of dust. So when I do not understand the Lord, and when you do not understand the Lord, let us be humble. And let us have expectation. And let us pray that he might use it. There was a missionary from China. He said, you know, it's remarkable. When I come here in the West, in Europe, then I see that you people pray different than they do in China. When you are in trouble, you pray to the Lord, oh Lord, take this trouble away out of my life. Make me free of this trouble. And you know what the people in China pray? They usually pray, oh Lord, use it. use this trouble, this affliction in my life to thy glory and to the extension of thy kingdom and to the benefit of my soul. What a different way to see darkness in life. And what a trust in such a prayer. And what an expectation we will have when we see that the Lord is not making ashamed those that hope in Him. Can you say that? Amen.